Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. And tonight we're going to pay attention to ADHD, working memory, and dopamine. Is there a connection? And with us tonight in our virtual studio is Dr. Kenneth Bloom. This is, I think, his third time he's been on the show. He's an exceptionally insightful guest. One of my favorites, transformed the way I coached many years ago when I first started talking with him about dopamine. We're going to get into our interview with him. And a surprise tonight, we've got a dopamine song that I think is going to impress everybody. But real quickly, tonight is January the 25th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Real quickly, a quick announcement. The ADHD Women's Palooza teleconference being brought to you by Linda Rogley and Terry Maitland is coming up February 6th through the 11th. This is a virtual online conference focused on ADHD and women's issues. This is their second year. They've got 36 experts, I believe, lined up for this event. I'm actually flattered and honored that they've asked me to come back for the second year. And oddly enough, I'm talking to them about working memory. So tonight's going to be kind of fun with the conversation that we've got going on in preparation for that. For more information about Women Palooza, go to ADHD Palooza. That's PALOOZA.com. And as always, Dr. Barkley has asked me to plug ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small scale research worldwide. So that's the end of our announcements. Want to really kind of tonight thank so much Chad, which is Children and Adults for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. They're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We've had a long-term relationship with them. We're going to have a even longer one now as we're extending our relationship. And tonight's show is actually being brought to you by Chad, as all of our shows have been recently. So we have a quick tip that they'd like to share, and we'll get into the meat of the show. So here we go.
Want school mornings to be stress-free? Planning the night before can make mornings run more smoothly for you and your child. Place a basket or box by the front door for backpacks, lunch boxes, coats, jackets, and whatever else your child might need to grab on their way out. For more tips to get the school year started right, go to the CHAD website, www.helpforadhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
All right, everybody. Thanks again, Chad. If you're not a member of CHAD, you should join CHAD for no other reason than to support them because they advocate on behalf of those with ADHD. They've been on Capitol Hill dealing with the FDA and the DEA on everything from the definition of disability and legislation to ADHD stimulant medical shortages, among others. So, please check them out at ADHD.org. Okay, let's get into tonight's show. Tonight, we're here with Dr. Kenneth Bloom. He made global headlines with his co-discovery of the reward gene, or the addiction gene, published by the Journal of American Medical Association in 1990. Subsequent discoveries led Dr. Bloom to coin the phrases brain reward cascade and reward deficit, or excuse me, deficiency syndrome. He's considered by many to be the father of psychiatric genetics, and I'm going to botch this name, neuroadaptogen or amino acid therapy. In his bio, I think half of the United States universities are recognized here in some form that he's had a relationship with over the past, but he holds numerous patents worldwide, has published 13 books written and contributed to over 500 papers published in scientific and medical journals. He's currently a chief of scientific advisor for Dominion Diagnostic and is an adjunct full professor at the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Florida College of Medicine and McKnight Brain Institute in Gainesville, Florida. With that, Dr. Bloom, welcome to the show.
Thank you again, Jeff, for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You know, I always have to have you back because as a host, one of your goals is to ask the most insightful questions that really kind of take it back. And the first interview we ever had, I'll never forget, I said, Dr. Bloom, are we addicted to drugs or are we addicted to dopamine? He said, wow, Nobody's ever asked that before. When you said that, it was like this whole orgasmic dopamine nirvana for me, because I was like, yeah, nobody's ever asked that question before. And it was fascinating because your answer was actually we're addicted to dopamine. The things that we're addicted to impact those levels of dopamine. And from that moment forward, I really began to understand the impact dopamine has on our world, and particularly for those with ADHD. It's led to a show that we did last October on medicating or self-medicating behavior to bring the equilibrium into parity. And tonight we're talking about working memory, but really this all begins with cognition. Dopamine has a big impact on cognition. Can you talk to us about what cognition is?
Well, cognition basically is the way that we could actually understand activities involving recent events like short-term memory, or older events that are long-term memory. The process of cognition is the ability to actually retrieve these events, store them, or I should say recruit them, then store them, and then retrieve them at the times that we want to utilize them. And the cognition, there's long-term memory and there's short-term memory, and both of these things are impacted very much by neurotransmitters, and the one that seems to have a huge impact, of course, is dopamine.
And dopamine is the reward neurotransmitter. Can you just talk to us about that? Because you did coin the phrase reward deficiency syndrome, and it is the reward neurotransmitter. Just kind of tee that up so we understand what that transmitter is all about.
Okay. Well, we have to understand that the way the brain works, it works in a cascade of events and neurotransmitters or messages, starting from the hypothalamus, serotonin to stimulate the natural endorphins to actually control the inhibitory transmitter GABA to allow the glutamine in the ventral tegmental region to cause dopamine to be released. Now, it sounds very complicated, but, you know, this goes on constantly. The end of the day, dopamine is the actual neurotransmitter that makes you either feel pleasure or reduces your stress levels. Now, I have always been asked, well, what comes after dopamine? And I don't know. Maybe in the future we will find out what's the next step after dopamine. There's got to be other messengers probably and other mm-hmm. other transmitters that are involved. But dopamine, as we know it now, is the kind of the resting place of a chemical messenger that is stimulated through other neurotransmitters. And people make the mistake that they stop at serotonin, or they stop at endorphins, or they stop at GABA or glutamine. The end result is dopamine. So reward deficiency syndrome, the idea is based on the fact that substance-related and non-substance-related repetitive behaviors or addiction based on the actual activity of dopamine in the brain and part of the brain that allows us to either achieve pleasure or to actually cope with stress. And deficiency is when, for either genetic or environmental reasons, which we now call epigenetics, we have a reduced flow or activity or function of dopamine in the reward system of the brain. That's what reward deficiency syndrome is all about.
So I'm going to see if I can – I want to try to reframe this and simplify that a little bit. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to correct me to make sure I get it right. So I think of it like this: is there's a certain level of dopamine that's required for a level state of, I guess, being among human beings. And if you have ADHD and this level is deficient, your brain – as it's like kind of like Pavlov's dogs, it's going to go look for a lever to push to get its dopamine. And if it gets it, it's going to keep pushing that lever over and over and over. And if it doesn't get the dopamine from that lever, it's going to go find another lever to push. And so it's looking for that reward. And from an ADHD perspective, or a substance abuse perspective, because they're not at that regular level, they're doing something to increase the dopamine levels to get that level of satisfaction. So that reward deficit syndrome is in this gene. There's this craving for it, which kind of drives behavior to go seek that stuff out. So in an oversimplified form, it's like your brain pushing the lever to try to get comfortable so it's at equilibrium. Now, again, I'm simplifying this, but you want to correct that at all, or is that okay as a working model?
Well, actually, that's a very good working model to use. I think you said it the right way. I could add just one more thing to it.
Yep.
It's not just the fact that we think that people with ADHD have what we call low dopamine tone, meaning low dopamine function at rest. That has actually been proven by Dr. Padagione, looking at the PET scan and functional magnetic resonance imaging. These are techniques
yep.
to measure dopamine across the brain. And he actually clearly shows that the dopamine levels are lower, okay, in people that have ADHD compared to people that do not have ADHD. So what you're saying is exactly true. It's like pushing a lever so I can maintain and become
yep.
One with my dopamine.
Absolutely. So with that being said, when dopamine levels are lower, cognition, the ability to process and store and retrieve things from your memory decreases. And so this show is really about dopamine as it decreases has a material impact on memory in general, specifically working memory. Is that accurate?
Well, you can use the word working memory, yes. But, you know, what I like to do is expand it a little bit. And,
okay, yep.
There's many experiments to show the impact of having a dysfunction of dopamine onto your ability to remember something, whether it is short-term or long-term. And it's actually been shown that when you carry, for example, genes that actually induce a low dopamine function, like, for example, the dopamine D2A1 allele, like we found to be involved in alcoholism and other addictions, we know by carrying that particular gene with having the low form, having 30 to 40% less dopamine receptors, dopamine D2 receptors exactly, the ability to remember long-term facts decline, and as well short-term facts and working
mm-hmm.
memory, of course. So you know, when you look at general cognition and they look at carriers of this DRD2A1 form, what they find is they end up, compared to individuals that have the normal complement of the gene and have the normal dopamine receptors, there's a huge difference. There's lower cognitive ability, okay, and those that carry the A1 form of the D2 gene that leads to 30 to 40% less dopamine receptors.
Wow.
That's a
wow.
given. That's a given.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, now there is even more data that we could talk about, but which is very interesting in terms of magnifying aging, which we could get into. But I'll let you continue
yep.
with the interview.
Yeah. So I want to go to a break real quick. Before we go, you have a new website. I'm see if I can get this right. It's sanusbiotech.com. Is that accurate?
SANUS. Yeah, and there's another one that's www.synaptamine.com. Synaptamine.com.
Got it. Now, before we go to break, I want to kind of tease this thing up because, Dr. Bloom, you are Mr. Dopamine, and you're a little bit of a musical background. You actually have put together a song about dopamine that we're going to be releasing after our second commercial break. Can you just tell us a little bit about that so I can tease everybody so they'll hang around and listen to it? Because, by the way, it's spectacular. So, Dr. Boone, can you tell us about it a little bit? Like, what inspired it?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sorry. I thought you were going on a break. That song I wrote, and we live in Austin, Texas. And as you know, there's a whole variety of outstanding musicians in Austin, Texas. And I selected those very exciting musicians that I know in Austin. We went into a studio. We spent from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to about 2 in the morning putting this song together. It's actually produced, and we're going to be actually putting it together with another group that's going to come out with an album about all my dopamine. So there's a number of songs that we're writing. This one I think is that I put together is all about how dopamine works in the brain. So that's what it's all about.
And it's a great song. I encourage you guys here because we're going to play that after, not this commercial break, but the next one. It's spectacular. And that's just proof about how passionate Dr. Bloom is about his work. So with all that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with the Dr. Kenneth Bloom, and I'm getting great education about dopamine on an ongoing basis from the experts. The best part about my job on this show is I get to ask the questions and I get to learn. So we talked about dopamine. We talked about cognition. We're talking about memory. And I want to kind of spend a little bit of time in this segment, really kind of focus on it because this is the meat of the show to me. Dr. Bloom, when we were talking about this, if dopamine helps is a reward neurotransmitter, you pay attention to it, and the lack of it reduces cognition and reduces memory, it would seem to me those with ADHD, if there's something that they're interested in and it elicits that level of dopamine, they probably have a pretty good memory. But as we start to pay attention to things that don't elicit that much, it makes it more difficult to actually remember things. So I'm wondering if there's a cascading effect. The further, the less interesting it is, not only is it the harder to pay attention to, but the harder it is to actually put that into working memory. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Well, yeah. First of all, I want the audience to realize that up to this date, there's about 650 studies that are involved in the literature of dopamine and memory. So this is a very extensive body of research in the field. You have to also understand that the storage of memory actually involves certain parts of the brain. Certainly the hippocampus is very important. The long-term memory is stored in what we call the prefrontal cortex. Now, we know that the dopamine tone in the prefrontal cortex is low in people have ADHD. So their ability to store information, especially information that they want to store for the long term, you know, is somewhat impaired. Now, of course, if individuals are very interested in a topic, they certainly could force themselves and continued to have focus, and they could probably overcome the challenge of having a low dopamine. But if they're not interested in it at all, I mean, it's almost like looking at something and you look at it, but you glare right through the page and your mind is wandering someplace else, and, and you're going to have a harder time getting back into that focus. Now, if you have the normal complement of dopamine, it may have that easier, even if you're bored. But if you have ADHD, if you're bored, you're going someplace else, okay? It's very difficult. Let's put it that way. And process is not that great. So you're going to have a little bit of a problem getting that information to and retrieving that information, okay? So, I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, and by the way, like I'm saying to you, it gets even worse as we get older. So the older ADHD individual may even be worse off than the younger ADHD individual.
As we get older, the dopamine receptor. So in the synaptic gap, you have two neurons. When electrical charges come down, it's going to skip from one neuron to next. It's got to jump the synaptic gap. So neurotransmitters are kind of sprayed into that gap and then kind of sucked back in, if you will. The receptors kind of pull that stuff in. So it's this mechanism of dopamine getting sprayed and kind of reuptake in this process. And as you get older, the reuptake, those inhibitors start to die off, and it messes with that mechanism, which deteriorates memory. Is that, number one, is that accurate description of it? And two, is if that's taking place as we get older, that deteriorates memory, which makes it more difficult, which is more taxing for those with ADHD. You want to correct me on that, or is that,
well,
is that accurate?
Well, let me help that a little bit, okay?
Please.
It's not. It's sort of correct, but there's an easier way to look at it, okay?
Okay.
And the easier way to look at it is well known from many, many studies that as we get older, the number of the dopamine receptors, especially the D2 receptors, decline. They get less as we get older. So if you could envision the fact that the dopamine receptors are going down as we age, okay? So if they're going down, as the dopamine is being sprayed into that synaptic cleft, okay, even independent of whether a whole bunch of it is going to get reuptake back into the preneuron, okay? But what we have to worry about is, are there a number of dopamine receptors to attract the dopamine that's being sprayed into that part of the brain? And if the dopamine and the number of receptors of the dopamine is actually significantly going down, you can imagine that the function of dopamine, especially for memory, is also going down. And that's happening whether it's ADHD or whether it's happening in a normal individual. You're actually getting a impact on aging and cognition. They call that magnification of the aging process.
Okay. So
that's one of the problems.
If you have ADHD and your genes are predisposed to have this, is it fair to say that your memory is more taxed when there's less dopamine or less interest? And as you age, that your brain is actually taxed that much more, so it actually might deteriorate more than the average bear? Is that an inaccurate statement, or is there something to that?
Yes, it's very possible. If, for example, they have already showed, this is a recent paper, by using certain measurements in the brain, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and that kind of studies, where they could look at the brain, look at specifically parts of the brain, they have actually showed that individuals that carry the dopamine D2A1 allele, okay, where you got lower dopamine receptors anyway, that the ability to actually remember long-term memory, okay, is significantly reduced, and especially more so in the older individual that carries the D2A1 allele than in the younger, okay? So it magnifies. That's what the word magnifies is. It magnifies that aging process. So if you have ADHD and you're carrying, for example, this A1 allele, the dopamine D2 receptor, you will be certainly more prone to having a reduced kind of effect as you get older because of the combination of the genetics, okay?
Yep.
And the impact of age just on the promotion of having low dopamine receptors anyway.
Yep.
So it's a double whammy effect.
Absolutely. So I'm having a little bit of an aha here because if dopamine has an impact on cognition, and as you age, cognition is decreased as dopamine kind of goes down, we're talking about memory, but if you're going to retrieve that, you actually have to be able to process something and store it. So as you get older, is it fair to say that those with ADHD, their ability to learn, to actually take in that information, to cognitively process it, to store it in such a way that they can retrieve it, is also diminished?
Yes, I think that's one way to look at it. There are studies on ADHD candidates, and there is this impact of low dopamine onto the aging process, so it's actually worthwhile to note that you have this effect on the memory banks. One of the things that you have to further be cognizant of is the fact that when you look at what we call bold activation, the parts of the brain that have to do with memory and the retrieval of information, when you carry this genetic infraction of having low dopamine receptors, what happens is that the oxygenation of the part of the brain that's involved in long term memory is also reduced. So that you have a situation where the oxygen that is needed to help you recruit, help you retrieve the memory is also impaired, especially in people that carry the genetic complement of the dopamine dysregulation. So we have more than one impact onto this whole idea of focus and aging and ADHD.
So let me add, because I want to start turning a little bit, and we have to go to break because I want to come back with a song before we wrap it up. Taking stimulant medications have an impact on dopamine. Would they all? Could I can assume that if you're a person with ADHD and you're older and you're open to taking medications and they work for you, that would actually help improve memory because it's keeping the levels of dopamine up? Is that? Talk to me about that a little bit.
Well, Ritalin and Adderall, the pharmaceuticals certainly have an impact. They tend to bring about a increase of dopamine in the synapse because it's going to affect the uptake. Okay, so yes, but we of course have other ideas as to what we're really looking to do. We are not looking just to boost the dopamine. We are looking to enhance the function of dopamine and bring about what we call dopamine homeostasis. So if you have too much dopamine or too little dopamine, we want to balance that dopamine and bring it into a normal state. That's the goal of most of the researchers to really go to. Okay?
Okay. Got it. Got it. Makes a lot of sense to me.
And we can do that. We do that. We do that with our new adaptogen. That's one of the things that we do.
Awesome. So at the end of the day, tonight's show, I just really wanted to kind of, with our listeners, kind of highlight the impact of dopamine on cognition and memory in general, and that when you're when you age and it's more taxed, it's more difficult for those with ADHD. And that my point really is not to upset anybody, but really to emphasize the need for certain strategies to be able to, I call it virtual memory, so you can offload it and come back and get to it. We have other shows that talk about that. We're going to have some more that are come up about particular strategies that you do to make that happen. I know I got some ideas on working memory. We've got some things on long-term memory and stuff like that that we do for those with ADHD to kind of put in place. But the idea is really to get to the basis of it. And Dr. Bloom, you do such a great job of articulating it. I want to go to the break. When we come back, I want to air the song the first time, I think, live on at least on ADHD in the community with this particular song. I think it's really fun, and I think it's a great thing to release. Again, before we go, to learn more about Dr. Bloom, go to sanusbiotech.com. And before the last break, you gave another website that I wasn't able to write down. Can you share that with us?
Oh, it's www.synaptamine.com. That's the pro-dopamine regulator that I was talking about.
Synaptamine.com. With that, we'll be right back.
Synaptamine.com.
We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Kenneth Bloom having a conversation about dopamine, cognition, and memory. Every show we've ever had with Dr. Bloom has been on more or less dopamine and its impact, which is huge. And all of them have been very insightful. And today is one, no doubt, same thing there. But I want to leave a little bit of time here. Dr. Bloom did, in fact, this is his passion. And before the first break, he talked about the coming together and recording of a song that we're going to release. And Dr. Bloom, what is do you have a title for this song?
Yeah, it's called Oh My Dopamine.
Oh My Dopamine.
My Dopamine, yep.
All right. And this is, you like music, you're musically inclined on your own. Just in listening to it, is that right?
Well, let's put it this way. We actually, every night, we have a chance. We go out almost every night, and we go to music all over Austin or wherever we travel. That's the way that I basically relax. And
mm-hmm.
I go into jazz and blues and mm-hmm. rock and all the, anything that that makes my dopamine flow.
And I learned this from you in our first interview: sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Sex being orgasms, dopamine, drugs, dopamine, and music
right.
Actually impacts dopamine, correct?
Yes, it does. It actually impacts it higher than food. Food releases dopamine probably about 6% above normal. Music, about 8%. Cocaine, about 22%. And sex is off the wall.
There you have it. So with that, we're going to play Oh My We're going to play Oh My Dopamine. When it's over with, we'll just have a few words. We'll wrap it up. So let's roll the tape.
Life is true, so are you. Without you, dear dopamine, surround so blue. Come back, come back, my dopamine. Let's start anew. Having you down the fear. Oh, my dopamine. My dopamine. Stay around and life is fine. My soul to my brain. I need your excitement. Oh, dopamine. Stay, but don't take no train. My
Wow, there you have it. Dr. Bloom, that's amazing.
Well, you know, let me say a few things about the performance. The trumpet is a fellow by the name of Ephraim Owens, and he is the trumpeter for Tedeschi and Trust.
Wow.
The piano is Kevin Lovejoy, who's been the piano player for John Mayer for years. He has a long history. He's a genius. The singer is Chris Rodriguez, who wrote the actual song. I just did the lyrics. And Chris is a great voice and great bass guitarist. And one of the guitars by David Rice, who plays with the Zombies. So this is really a highly professional group. Yeah, so that's why when you get professionals do it, it comes out to be pretty good. And if you notice, it's really all about the pharmacology of dopamine, the idea of shutting down the fear and being renewed and the whole idea of love. And that's sort of what triggers it. I just want to make this one point that in 2000, Eric Kendall received the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his work on dopamine, memory, by the way, and active fear. And so it's very related to the idea of shutting down fear. So that's why the lyrics are kind of put together with that idea of shutting down fear. That's what I wanted to let you know. Okay.
Well, I very much appreciate the narrative, and also I also appreciate the opportunity of you letting us play that song out there for our listeners to kind of hear. I know I enjoyed that. And this, by the way, everybody, I found that this he sent this to me several months ago, and the more I listen to it, the better it gets every time, which is to me, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. I've seen him in concert every single calendar year since 1980. It's funny because every time he releases an album, I say, I listen to it five times before I pass judgment. Because at first I don't like most of them, but then they wear on me. And the test of time is if I can play it and not get tired of it, then it's good music. And this is one of those songs that passes that litmus test. It doesn't ring in my head that I want to get at it. It's just kind of there. So it's spectacular.
No.
I appreciate your opportunity.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm 78, and every time I do play it in conferences and I dance. So when I hear it, it does make me dance. So it has that kind of effect on me. And many, many years ago, I actually was a professional dancer for Joe Kuba. I was called the Mambo Jew. So this is something that really brings back those memories.
Yep. Well, Dr. Blinn, I got to wrap this up. But thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been spectacular.
So I appreciate it. I enjoy it. I hope your listening audience gained some information, and I'd be glad to do it at another time and any time you feel up to it. Okay?
Well, we'll be in touch. Everybody, again, check out Dr. Bloom and his new website, sanusbiotech.com. With that, hope you enjoyed this edition of Great Attention Talk Radio. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Bye-bye.